Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, PA. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For details on this group event, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Here by Chance or Creator.
All alone with your thoughts, all by yourself, that you can't tell me that you don't reach out and say something to somebody that's out there. You know, and as I've heard it said over and over again, that you'll never find an atheist on their deathbed. That all of them, you know, come to the realization that there's somebody that's greater than them. And so I struggle with that because I was sitting there and I said, watch this. I don't know if you, have you ever done this? Now, Lord. Now, God. You know, and I mean, it was just natural. It just came out. Now, God, now, Lord, I'm talking to God. And I just was having a hard time in my mind making the transition to say, how can somebody sit there and not say, now force, now energy, you know, that there's somebody, something that's greater than you. And I'm so glad. I don't know about you. But I'm so glad that I found out who that greater individual is and that I have a relationship with that greater individual. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So, without God, right? Without God, what has man come up with? Let me just share with you a couple of things. First of all, hedonism, right? There's no purpose, there's no plan, there's no goal. I just kind of rose up out of the slime, and I'm here, billions of years later. So what do I come up with as the purpose for life? Well, hedonism. And what does hedonism say? It says it's all about pleasure. It's all about you fulfilling your desires. It's all about you filling your lusts. It's all about you consuming things upon yourself. Now think about it. Look around. There's probably people that you know that live by this philosophy. You know, that's why. You know, why do you think? I heard the prayer request this morning about praying for the things that happened in England. Right? You know, and especially when these Islamic terrorists, when they take people's lives. And notice what, 99.9% of the time, it's a what? It's a man. You know, very, very seldom is it a woman. It's a man. And why is it that they do it? Simple reason. Because they've been promised 70 virgins when they get into eternity. So that's why they do it, because I'm going to get 70 virgins. Maybe that's why the women are not killing people, because there's nothing in the Quran that promises them anything, right? And so you think about, what is that all about? What is that about? That's about hedonism. That's about pleasure. It's about me leaving. That's about me taking out as many folks as I can. And the more people I take out, the more pleasure I'm going to get. That's a hedonistic philosophy. And then we see that there's relativism. And what is that? Now again, what am I saying? When without God, when we accept these evolutionary theories, these are the best things that man can come up with. And what does this say? That there are no moral absolutes. You know, morals are based on culture or the way you feel. So, you know, to live in a society where everything is relative. And so what do you see? That's why somebody will rip you off. Why? Because it's, and it goes back to, remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Darwin's philosophy. Natural selection, the survival of the fittest. And so what does that say? That says that it's all about survival. And that however you need to survive, that's what you need to do. And so if I need to rip you off to survive, then hey, it's all relative, right? It's all about, and that's the world that we see. That the world that we see that has evolved is a mess. Nihilism says that life has no meaning, that you live and you die and that's it. Isn't that, I came from nothing, I'm going to nothing. I live, I die, that's it. This is a philosophy. Humanism. It's all about self. And all we need to do is look at our culture around us, and that's what we see. It's all about self. You know, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. But what's the big thing, right? Selfies. I know I'm getting in trouble. That's all right. Amen. Amen. All right. I have no problem with selfies, right? Because I've taken a couple. So, you know, I have no, but I'm just saying, just think of what that is. It's a picture of me. I mean, again, I have no problem. Not with if we do it in the right context. But there's a lot of vain people out here. And you know, I mean, their life is all about them. You know, it's just like one writer said, you know, I went to a room full of mirrors and all I could see was me. You know, and that's the thing. And what is it? It's humanism. It's all about self. And then fatalism. Man has no control over what happens. That's rooted in evolution right there. And then finally, when we look at philanthropy, you know, we think about the fact that this is probably the best out of all the naturalistic philosophies that man can come up with, that this is probably the best. And this basically says what? That I need to be about helping other people. You know, that's the best you can come up with, you know, apart from God, which is good, right? I applaud this. But again, it's still a humanistic philosophy. So when we think about this whole thing tied up, and I've heard people quote this before, so this, I'm probably going to get in trouble on this one too. So, but there's a poem, and I just picked out the last line, Invictus by William Ernest Henley, and he says this, the last line of his poem, Invictus, is, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I'm the master of my fate, and I'm the captain of my soul.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church, we will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is a early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412 646-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
That's what it boils down to, right? So, I mean, is that, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I was going to ask, has anybody ever quoted that right there? Well, you know, I mean, if you go back and read the rest of the poem, you know, he's talking about evidently he has some sickness or struggle that was in his life and that he came through it. But look at the conclusion. Had I not determined to have resolve, had I not said that I was going to come through, then I would have never made it. I'm the master of my fate, and I'm the captain of my soul. And you know, the sad thing is that many of God's people live their lives like this. What about you, my friend? As you are here today, you know, would you put God at the beginning of the last two sentences? God is the master of my fate. God is the captain of my soul. Or is it you? What you know, just pause for a moment and ask yourself the question, because we can come down on people that believe in evolutionary theories, but we have to ask ourselves, as people who claim to be the child of God, have we taken our lives into our own hands? Have we taken control? Given the fact that there is a God who created us, that we are not here by chance, we are not here by accident, but there is a God who created us, and he has intention and purpose for our life. See, evolution leaves us asking the question, and then what? Right? Evolution leaves us asking the question, and then what? I'm here to get a good education, and then what? I'm here to get a good job, and then what? I'm here to raise my family, and then what? I'm here to do good work in my community, and then what? I'm here to just have a bunch of fun, and then what? I'm here to help out and influence my grandchildren, and then what? Evolution never answers the question, and then what? There's no answer to the question. And then what? But thank God that as God's people, that we do have answers. And as I close today, I want to look at implications of a divine creator so that we can begin, if we are in this, and again, I would encourage you, go back and get the messages that I've already preached because some people will say, well, you know, evolution, Big Bang, is all compatible with creation and the Bible. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. But I get people tell me that all the time. And it's not. There's no way that it's compatible. And so I preached on that extensively in the first couple messages. Number one, we were created and designed by an almighty God. That you are no accident. You are no happenstance. Look at Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. Psalm 8. You are no accident. And you know, I remember when I first started pastoring here in Homewood. And we were out in the street and we were talking to young guys. And a lot of them, you know, that were out there, and, you know, at the time when we came, man, it was like every week here in Homewood, somebody was getting killed. Every week somebody was getting killed. And you know what, as you talk to the young, you know what their mentality was? Well, you know, I don't expect to live past 25 years old. I mean, that was actually the thinking of some of the young men out there. And where would that come from? That if you don't see yourself with any purpose beyond yourself, and you don't see yourself with any goals and aspirations, then you see your life coming to an end. But look, if we think about this, you can't read this verse right here and not think that God has a plan, God has a purpose for you. He says in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visiteth him. For you have made him a little lower. What? You have made him. You have created him. You have designed him. You have perfected him. A little lower than the angels, and has crowned him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm crowned with glory and honor as an individual created in the image of God. You remember back in, I think it was the 70s or late 60s, a lot of black youth were suffering from low self-esteem, and Jesse Jackson came out with this thing where he said, I am, and they had to repeat, I am somebody, somebody. Well, let me tell you this, people of God, you are somebody. You have been crowned with glory and honor, and you are somebody. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. I didn't come out of the sheep. I didn't come out of the oxen. I didn't come out of the beast of the field. But I'm over the sheep and the oxen and the beast of the field and the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passes through the paths thereof. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You have made me a little lower than the angels. You created me with your own hands. You blew into me your breath of life. And now you've given me dominion over your creation. I am somebody. I am somebody. Don't let people tell you that you're nobody. Don't let people tell you that you don't mean anything. You are somebody. God thought enough of you to create you and to bring you into this world and to breathe into you the breath of life and to stamp upon you his image. You are somebody. You didn't rise out of the slime. You are somebody. That I've been created by all powerful and almighty and all wise God. And that this God who created me has purpose and meaning for my life. Purpose and meaning for my life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. That this God who created me has purpose and meaning for my life. Jeremiah 29, and even though we know that he was talking to Israel in captivity, so I'm giving you the context on that, but I believe that we can take this beyond Israel, and we can relate it to each one of us that know God. And he says in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose for my life. And I need to find out what his plan and what his purpose is. And that I'm just not here wandering through life with a hedonistic philosophy, with a humanistic philosophy, with a moral relativistic philosophy. That God has a plan and a purpose for my life. And that number three, oh hallelujah. See, this is where people hate. This is why people attack the Bible. This is why people hate the Bible. This is why the evolutionists will discredit the Bible. This is why they will try to destroy the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Why? Because if they accept that and they believe that the Bible is God's instruction, then guess what? They got to abide by it. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Wow. The Creator not only designed me, created me, but gave me a book to follow. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Where's the book at that tells me how to live an evolutionary life? Now, I'd rather trust a book that's 3,500 years old, than trust a humanistic book that Darwin wrote in the 16th, 17th century. And then it's all theory. It's all theory. And yet and still, that's what we teach. We teach this to our kids that it's fact, when in essence, it's just theory. It's just theory. Don't get me started, saints. I'm glad nobody said amen. Because I'm trying to wind this message down. I would have kept on. If y'all have said amen, I would have kept on. No. All right. So what a powerful God that we have, that he created us, designed us, he has a purpose for us, and he's given us a book to follow. And then here goes the thing as I close, is that at one day, he's going to hold us accountable. One day we will have to stand. And see, you see why it's so easy for me to live as an evolutionist? Why? Because in the end, I'm not a con. Man, I can rip you off. I can be the most immoral person in the world. I can believe in all these ungodly philosophies. And when I die, hey, man, I just become nothing. So, I mean, just think. You know, some people, man, you know, if they look at their life, they don't want to think about the fact that one day they're going to have to stand before God. So it's just easier for me to not accept that. Well, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that Bible. You know, that Bible, man, is written by man. You know, that Bible, it's irrelevant. That Bible was outdated. That Bible got mistakes in it. That Bible got errors in it. So they come with all these things, right? Because they don't want to be accountable to it. And even Romans tells us that God has put within everybody a knowledge of God. And that one day we're going to have to give an account. And so when I understand that my life has purpose and meaning, then that's going to call me into account to live a life that is pleasing to the God who created me. And I don't know about you, but I challenge you today, live that life that is pleasing to the God who created you. And as our custom has been, there's been three questions. Number one, how can there be any ultimate meaning to life if we are here by chance? How? If you're here by chance, that means there's no creator, no designer, no intended plan. You're just here. What will happen to me when I leave this life? Don't know. I do know. I know. I don't know about you. I know. And if we are here by chance, who determines what's right or wrong? Goes back to the days of Judges. Everybody does what was right in their own eyes. What determines what's right or wrong?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Sacredness of Life, Who Decides, God or Man? From our series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man, which is taken from the book of Genesis. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Here by Chance or Creator, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Here by Chance or Creator. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Here by Chance or Creator. Or call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.